All right, today we're going to kick off this new series. Now, I will tell you this, that normally I would wait and kick off a new series the Sunday after a holiday weekend because you want to make sure you have everybody here. We know we have a lot of people traveling today, but I decided that I want to reward all those who are going to be here on a holiday weekend. So give yourself a hand. You're going to get it today. I promise you this, I will preach like there is 10,000 people here if you'll get behind me and say amen, all right? So I got any amens in the house? All right, let's go for it today. We're talking about wisdom today. Now, how many's ever read the popular book series, different things? They have Wisdom for Dummies is what we're calling this series, but we have books out there called Spanish for Dummies or Auto Mechanics for Dummies, Computer Programming for Dummies. It's been a very popular book series over the last two decades. And so I decided, as we're talking about wisdom, just for fun, we would call it Wisdom for Dummies. I'm not calling anybody a dummy today, so please don't send me any texts or emails. I promise you, I'm the only dummy here. All right. All right. So today, let's talk about growing in wisdom. You know, we have this knowledge that we need to know that God has a wisdom for each of us. There is a wisdom, and only a dummy, only a knucklehead would say this, that once we know that God has a supernatural wisdom that he wants to give to you and I, would say, I don't want that. I don't want to walk in that. I don't want to use that in my life. I don't want to have that. Of course, we want wisdom. We want to be wise. We want to have that in our life. And so today we're talking about this series about God's wisdom that he has for all of us. He wants us to discover it. He wants you to know it's available for our everyday life and we can begin to walk in. So today let's talk about the beginning of all wisdom. Where does wisdom from the Lord come from? The beginning of all wisdom. We're going to read a story here in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 verses 7 through 10. It's a story, before we read it, remember King David was a mighty warrior of the Lord. God used King David to defeat the Philistines, to defeat God's enemies, and he was gifted and anointed as a warrior. He killed Goliath, he killed the bear, he killed the lion, and as a king, he led God's army and defeated the Philistines, and this was a mighty warrior used of God. But God said this, David, I want you to have the temple rebuilt, but you can't do it because you got too much blood on your hands. I want whoever leads the rebuilding of the temple, it needs to be somebody with not so much blood on their hands. I anointed you as king, as a warrior, but I want somebody with all this blood on your hands. So begin to prepare. So King David began to prepare, began to store up supplies to build the temple of the Lord. And when David passed on his throne to his son, King Solomon, Solomon built the temple. Solomon gave great gifts himself to the temple. And God was really pleased with King Solomon. And so let's read this story now. He's just rebuilt the temple. And now God comes to him. That night, God appeared to Solomon and said, what do you want? What a pretty awesome question, right? God came to him and said, Solomon, man, I am so pleased with you. Tell me what you want, what you really, really want. Tell me what you want, what you really, really want. That'd be a good song. Okay. And he goes, I'm going to give it to you. Ask and I will give it to you. Solomon replied to God, you showed great and faithful love to David, my father. And now you have made me king in his place. He goes, oh Lord, please continue to keep your promise to David, my father. Now remember, now the throne used to be King Saul's. And so by the rightful heritage, that should have been passed on to Jonathan. But instead, God, when Saul got out of God's favor, he raised up David, and now the throne's been passed to David's heritage, to David's bloodline. And so he's like, don't forget, God, you know, we need you. You know, don't forget, you gave it to David and made that same favor follow me, God. And look what it says, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust to the earth. And look what he asked for. This is his request. God, give me wisdom and knowledge. Let's say it together. Wisdom and knowledge. One more time. Wisdom and knowledge. This is what he asked for. Wisdom and knowledge to lead them properly. For who could possibly govern this great people of yours. Now, the word knowledge is, as we define it, look at this here, it's defined as how we get facts, how we store the information we're learning, and the skills acquired through education or experience. We gain knowledge through classroom, through books. We gain knowledge through teaching experiences where we're learning. And all this, however God wired us, God wired our brain to obtain information. Isn't it amazing that our brain is a computer and God wired us to obtain knowledge, to let it come in here. But the difference between knowledge is wisdom. Wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom is the ability to rightly apply the knowledge. It's a big difference. Knowledge is a lot of information that you get, but wisdom is how do I walk out that information? Wisdom is how do I live out this information? So I want every student, I want every college student, I want every young adult, I want you to listen today because I'm about to lay down some truth to your life. If you will listen, it can save yourself a lot of pain. It can save yourself a lot of trouble. It can get you wise beyond your years. Have you ever met somebody like that? They had wisdom that was beyond their years. They were wise beyond their years. And I want you to know that every person who believes that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you're living today under His Lordship, you can walk with the godly wisdom that's wise beyond your years. That God wants to give that to you. Every mom and dad, every grandma and grandpa, you can walk with the godly wisdom that God wants to give to every one of us. Have you ever met people who have a lot of book smarts, but not a lot of common sense? Come on, don't point at anybody in the room. I mean, they're really intelligent. I mean, they win all the Trivial Pursuit games. They have a lot of knowledge. I mean, they would do bank on Jeopardy or Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. But man, they don't have a lot of common sense. We all know people like that. See, wisdom knows how to apply all that knowledge. Wisdom knows how to use it. Wisdom understands that you got to have a way of living this out. So let's read God's response. Second Chronicles now. Let's look at verses 11 and 12 of chapter 1. After Solomon asked for wisdom and knowledge, God is so happy with him. Look what he says. God says, Solomon, because your greatest desire. Man, what an awesome statement for God to make about something. Your greatest desire is to help your people. And you didn't ask. He goes, you didn't ask for wealth, for riches, for fame. He goes, you didn't even ask for the death of your enemies. I would have done that one. God, take revenge for me on a few people. Well, God, do this. No, he said, you asked for wisdom, but rather you asked for wisdom and knowledge to properly govern my people. Now look what God's response is. I will certainly give you wisdom and knowledge as you requested, but I will also, this is a good thing. I will also give you wealth, riches, and fame, such as no other king has had before you or ever have in the future. And throughout the history of time, people who are atheists will say this, that King Solomon was the wisest man to ever walk the earth. And God gave him that reputation because God gave him a wisdom and knowledge like no one had ever seen before and has ever experienced since. That's what happens when you begin to seek the Lord's wisdom. When you begin to seek God's wisdom over wealth, over fame, over riches, over anything else, when you begin to seek God's wisdom first, God wants to do something in our life. Look at this. When you seek God's wisdom first, everything else will fall into place. That's wisdom. See, we're just the opposite. We want to seek wealth. We want to seek fame. We want to seek these other things first. And God's like, no. You got it backwards. No, seek me first. Ask for my wisdom first. And then I'll allow all these other things to be added to you. I'll take care. You see, the problem is this, is that we have too many people who want wealth. They want fame. And how many people do we know who have acquired those things and they were not ready for it? I mean, we have documentaries, we have shows on Netflix. How many pro athletes do we know that are making millions as young adults, but because they have no wisdom on how to manage it, it destroys their life? How many superstars in Hollywood do we know that have 10 million followers, all the fame they want, they have millions of dollars, but they are living the most miserable life possible, many of them taking their own life because they have no wisdom how to manage all that. See, if we try to get the cart before the horse, it's not about seeking those things. God says, I want to give you wisdom. If I can give you wisdom, and then you'll properly manage the other things that I bless your life with. But how, what a waste if God blesses me with all that and I have no wisdom on how to manage it. See, God wants to give me wisdom to govern my life. He wants to give me wisdom that says, I seek the Lord first. Oh, that's, you want to be wise? You care about what God thinks over anybody else. You want to be wise? You care about God. I want to please you above pleasing anybody else. How does God look at me? What does God think about me? What is God's approval of my life? When I do that first, I'm telling you guys, God will elevate you to a place of influence. God will elevate you to a place of blessing. God will elevate you to a place beyond your imagination, what your dreams, when you fear the Lord. And say, God, I want your wisdom first in my life. Come on, someone give God a hand clap for that. Pretty awesome, right? So let's share this scripture. Proverbs 3, 13 through 18. Joyful, man. How many needs a joy today? This person is joyful is the person who finds wisdom. The one who gains understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver. Her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. She offers you long life in her right hand, riches and honor in her left. She will guide you down a delightful path, and all her ways are satisfying. Look now, look at this. Wisdom is a tree of life. Let's say that word, tree of life. Come on, one more time. Tree of life. Man, that's an important thing. We'll come right back to it in a second. To those who embrace her, happy are those who hold her tightly. So God says, wisdom is the key. Seeking wisdom, we're not seeking the gold and the silver. If I'm seeking gold and silver, by the time I get it, I've lost my marriage because I put all my focus on that. I can go after gold and silver, and have I wasted all my life doing that, and I have no relationship with my children? Have I gained a lot of gold and silver, but I have nothing to show for it because I spent it in a very bad way. I invested it in things that wasn't lasting. And so God's like, no, I want you to seek me first. That's the wise person seeks God first. God, I need wisdom. I need your wisdom. And he goes, look what he says. Wisdom is the tree of life. Now I'm going to share something with you that I never put this together before until I was studying for this. And the light came on to me about this verse here. Because where do we see the tree of life originate at? It's in the Garden of Eden. Remember, he told Adam and Eve, you can't eat of the tree of this life. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This tree of knowledge, he goes, you can have everything else. And when they walked in the garden, what happened? God took care of them. God provided with them. God communed with them there. All their needs were met there in the garden. But when they disobeyed God, they were banished from the garden. They were kicked out of that. And God says this, if you will seek wisdom. Woo! Now listen to this. You seek wisdom, now it becomes the tree of life. So when you begin to seek God's wisdom, you can now once again walk in the middle of God's provision for your life. Seeking the wisdom of the Lord unlocks the tree of life where you can walk under the provision of God. God says, I will commune with you there. I will commune with the wise who are seeking me. I will bless you there. I will see you elevated there. I will nurture you there. I will take care of you there. It unlocks the tree of life in our life when I seek the wisdom from the Lord. Somebody needs to give God a shout that he repays back to us, that he brings back that blessing of the tree of life in our life. When I seek wisdom, it's a thing that God wants us to seek his wisdom above anything else. So let's look at the foundation of wisdom. What is the foundation? Where do we start at with wisdom? Proverbs 9:10 says it like this: the fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. In case you need me to translate that to you in original Greek and Hebrew, it means the fear of the Lord is the beginning, the foundation of all wisdom. There's no tricky way. We don't have to really study hard. We can see what this means and understand. But I believe the part that sometimes we don't get about this, is that we don't understand what the fear really means of the Lord. For many of us, the fear, we think of something we're afraid of. You know, I need to be afraid of God. You know, that's not what he's talking about here. When you do study out this original text, as far as its meaning, it means the fear of the Lord means the more of a awe, to be in awe of the greatness of God, awe in the beauty of the Lord, awe in what God can do, awe in how big God really is, to be awe. Have you ever experienced the ocean for the first time? Remember that? Come on, if you've ever been to the ocean, raise your hand. Have you ever seen the ocean? Do you remember the first time you ever stood in front of the ocean? You're like, that's a lot bigger than Shoal Creek. It makes you feel kind of small when you stand out there. I mean, I can spend hours out there. And I remember we stayed a few times. We had the opportunity to stay right on the beach. And we'll go out there on the deck at night and just listen to the waves and see the sunset or see the sunrise. And you're like, wow, God, this is big. Well, you take a cruise and you're out there for days in the middle of the ocean and you can't see anything but ocean, the water, every direction as far as the eye sees. You're like, God, wow, I'm in awe of how big your creation really is. I'm in awe of how big you really are. This is what he's wanting us to understand. It's about understanding the fear of the Lord is remembering just how big God really is in our life. I had this awe of God. I'm in awe of your wonder. I'm in awe of your beauty. I'm in awe of your many blessings. I'm in awe of your grace for my life. God, I'm in awe of everything you've done for me. God, I'm in awe of what you've done for us. God, I'm in awe of your creation. God, I'm in awe of your power. I'm in awe of your might. I'm in awe of your majesty. It's the fear of the Lord. So how do we do that? Let me give you today, as we close out the last part of this message, just talk about four ingredients. Let me give you four ingredients to the fear of the Lord. How do I walk in this fear? I'm glad you asked that, because I'm going to answer it right now, all right? Number one, write this down. You got to see and invite God's engagement in every life circumstance. And all the Lord realizes this, that in every area of my life, God needs to be a part of it. In every area of my life, God needs to be in the center of everything. I see that God is there. I invite him to be there. I see that God's at work even when I think he's not at work. That's wisdom. I'm in awe. Have you ever prayed, God, get me out of this problem, only to be stuck in that problem? Have you ever done that before? See, wisdom is this. God, I'm in awe. I know you have the power to deliver me from this. And if I pray and you don't deliver me, then I begin to change my prayer from God, get me out of this problem, to God, what do you want me to learn in the middle of this problem? Wait, that sounds like wisdom, doesn't it? Wisdom says, all right, what am I trying to do? Because God says, I can deliver you, but in order for me to take you to the next season, I've got to change some things inside you first. I've got to change some things in your heart first. I've got to change some things in your spirit first. I've got to change some things in your relationships first. You got to gain some wisdom through this tough time, because where I'm trying to take you, you don't have the wisdom yet to walk it out. If I give you there too soon, you're going to destroy it. You're going to ruin it. But I'm bringing you a wisdom right now through the valley. I'm bringing you a wisdom through the trial. I'm bringing you a wisdom through the problem. And when you get out of this, you're going to gain a trust in me. You're going to understand that I didn't leave you, I didn't forsake you, but I was bringing you up, and I was bringing something new in your life so that you could walk in a new season of blessing. Hallelujah. Somebody's about to walk through a new season of blessing. If you'll just say, God, I believe you're at work. You have not abandoned me. You are still here, even in this tough season. God, I'm in awe of you, because even when I go through the hard time in every circumstance of my life, God, you are near. You are there, and you have not left me. I'm in all of you, God. This is what happens. God is all powerful. God is all knowing. God is ever present. And I realize this, that he's a lot bigger than my problem. God, you are a lot bigger than my problem. So I'm in awe of you, God. Psalm 16:8 says, God, you're always there. I know the Lord is always with me. I won't be shaken. He's right beside me. And number two, the foundation of understanding for the fear of the Lord. We must understand that every word and action has consequences. That sounds like wisdom, doesn't it? I understand that every word that comes out of my mouth. Now, you've heard me preach this. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time because you know I did a whole series on the power of our words. The Bible says that our tongue and our words have the power of what? Life and death. There's no idle words. So as I'm maturing and growing in wisdom, I understand that every word I say is either speaking life or speaking death to the situation. I'm either speaking life over my job or death over my job. I'm either speaking life over my family or death over my family. I'm either speaking life or death. And so I realized that I just can't have idle words. I can't just say just anything. I can't just go around and talk in a certain way, any certain way. Everything I say and all my actions has consequences. Tough lesson to learn, right? But every action has a consequence. I got to realize that, man, my actions have consequences. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Paul said, don't be misled, guys. Don't be fooled. You can't mock the justice of God. You will sometimes harvest what? Always. Come on, say, always. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy our flesh will harvest decay and death from the flesh. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. We must realize that we will reap what we sow. I don't know why my kids don't care about church. Well, maybe because you only came to church once every 6 weeks. I know I'm preaching better than you're saying amen this way, but I'm telling you, we got to have a generation that'll rise up and hold truth to what God is wanting to do. I don't know why I'm fine broken and going, well, because you didn't tithe for 5 years and then you wonder why God's not blessing what my money is. I'm telling you, we have to realize that my actions have consequences. I don't know why my wife grew apart. Because you didn't have a date night for 3 years. Everything has consequences. Everything has consequences. That's maturing. That's wise. God, I fear the Lord because I know that my words have consequences. My actions have consequences. And number three. I better go number three before you guys run me out of town. All right, number three. A respect for evil and the destructive nature of the devil. We don't talk about the devil a lot sometimes when we're so focused on God. But I want you to know today that the enemy is real. He is real. And all the Lord knows that the enemy wants to do anything he can to destroy my life. If you don't know this, you must know that the enemy is active against every Christian. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your children. He wants to destroy your commitment to God. He wants to destroy your focus on God. He wants to destroy. I must know this. Listen, football season kicked off this week. Anybody watching the games? Yeah? Yeah? Pray a prayer, because Pastor Gene, as soon as I say amen, I'm going to Norman. We're going to be there tonight. Look for me on TV. I love it. Let me tell you, all these people there, all those coaches, they spent weeks of preparation looking about what the enemy, their team, they're playing, their opponent, how do they operate? And they know every scheme that they're facing. Listen, as Christians, we must be wise and know that the scheme that the enemy is using against our life, We must realize that he wants to kill, steal, and destroy from my life. That is his sole purpose. That is his one purpose. And he's going to do everything he can to kill, steal, and destroy from my life. Look at that scripture that says that right there. John 10:10. The thief comes not to come except for what? To steal, kill, and destroy. He told us that. Listen, guys, the enemy is active. He's real, and he wants to steal from you. He wants to destroy your marriage. He doesn't want you to have a marriage where God's at the center of that. If he can destroy your marriage, he can get to your children. He can destroy your family. If he can get you in debt, then he's got you working more than you need to work. He's got you stressed out. He's got you, oh, man. The enemy's working overtime to destroy our life. We must know that. And all the Lord realizes, the fear of the Lord knows, all right, there is an enemy, and he wants to take away my focus. I know that the enemy wants to destroy my life. He's sly. How did he destroy Eve? Would he come as big monster? No. It says he came as a serpent. Sometimes that's what the enemy does. He comes sly into our lives. Hey, everybody else is doing this. You do this. Well, times are changing. Nobody else is really believing God's word to be a solid foundation. Maybe you should follow what everybody else is doing. That's why we talked about that important message. If you missed last week, you must go online and listen to what we talked about last week. We must realize that our truth is not the truth if it's not God's truth. So the enemy is coming to destroy our truth, and he does it subtle. He comes in and tells you lies. You must see it. You must understand it. And number four, you must have a firm belief in God's love for us and desire to bless and protect us. See, as you're in awe of the Lord, I realize that I'm a firm belief that God, your love is greater than anything else. God, your love, your grace is overwhelming in my life. And you love me in spite of my failures. You love me in spite of my idiotic things that I've done in my past. You still choose to love me, and you want the best for my life. You desire to bless me. You desire to bless me. How can he bless me? When I seek wisdom from the Lord. Then these other things get added to my life. The blessings will follow when I say, God, I want your wisdom over anybody else's wisdom. I want your wisdom over fame. I want your wisdom over money. I want your wisdom over anything else. I want your wisdom. And God opens the door for God to bless me and protect me. You ever had those moments when your kids are young, they start walking, and then every dad does the great thing of putting their kids up on high things and saying, "Now jump, I'll catch you." And they're like, the first jump, remember, they're thinking about it, but they're nervous. I can't do it. And all of a sudden, the sibling comes along and is like, "Jump!" Dad catches them, or mom catches them. They smile and they wrap their arms around you. And then pretty soon, they're like, "Let's do that again." And they run up and they want to do it on their own. And then you'll have times when they, not even looking, they come running, jumping off the top balcony. You're like, "Whoa, warning next time," you know? But they've gotten to the place where they think, no matter what, that dad is going to catch him, or mom is going to catch him. And it's like, it's just one of those really strong bonding moments. I mean, you realize your kids really trust you that much. I wonder how much it pleases the Father when we trust him enough. So, God, I'm jumping. I'm trusting you. You've got me. I'm in awe of you, God. I'm in awe of you. You've got me. When we begin to trust God that much, something happens in our spirit. I love what God does. God desires for us to trust him this way. It causes me to draw near to him, not resist him. Psalms 91:2. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest. Anybody need rest today? On this weekend? All right. If you find, live in the shelter of the Most High. That's the wisdom of the Lord. Rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Then he says, this I declare about the Lord. I love the psalmist said, this is what I'm saying about you, God. He alone is my refuge. He's my place of safety. He is my God, and I will trust him. And what was God's response to those words? In verse 14 and 16, this is God's response in closing. God says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call upon me, I will answer. I will be with them in their time of trouble. I will rescue and I will honor them and I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. I'm in awe of how big God is. As our worship team's coming today, when's the last time you've been in awe of the goodness of God? When's the last time you've been in awe of how big God really is? When's the last time you said, God, you're so much bigger than anything I'm facing? Today, I want you to grow in wisdom. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet. I want us to close with this. This is an old course. As I was preparing this message, for whatever word, these words, majesty, just kept coming to me as I was in awe of God, how big he was. This is a song that our former president of the Foursquare, Jack Hayford, wrote back in the 80s. It became an anthem of the church in the 80s, early 90s. Some of you sung it as a kid. Some of you are like, I never heard a song in my life. Either way, we're going to do an oldie but a goodie today. And so I want you to declare the all of God today. Let's sing about his majesty today. Come on. This morning, amen. Come on, lift your hands. I want to pray with you before you leave today. Father, I thank you that God, you are giving us wisdom. But I pray that, Father, throughout this series, that there would be a renewed sense of God, you giving us wisdom beyond what we could ever dream or imagine. God, I pray that we would learn to seek your wisdom first. And God, I thank you that, God, you're going to raise up people who are wise. Wise because they have a heart for the Father first. Lord, I pray for supernatural wisdom to increase in the name of Jesus as we begin to fear the Lord at the foundation of everything we do. God, we're in awe. We're in awe of how big your majesty is, how big you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on now, put your hands together and tell God how much you love him. Amen. Now listen, today, I love you. Thank you so much for being here. It's going to be, don't miss part two. It's going to be powerful next week. Turn to somebody, give them a high five, and say, it's going to be a good series. God bless you.